Hello everyone and welcome to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. I'm Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. Available on paperback and Kindle on Amazon now. I have the absolute pleasure and honour of being joined today by Dean Allmark. Hi Dean, how you doing?
I'm good mate, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. And Spud was obviously a part of British Boot Camp the first season. Did you get a chance to see that at all?
I did.
And what did you think?
No, it was really good. Mark Rollable Rocco was on that.
Legend.
Mark Rocco is one of my good friends. I go over to stay at his place a couple of times a year, and it was good to see him on there, you know, with Spud, throwing Spud around, that was good. And then I think they opened a lot of eyes when they did that, you know, especially for the British wrestling scene. There's a lot of positive stuff that happens for the British wrestling scene that are done by people like TNA when they do the boot camp and stuff like that. So, I really enjoyed it, to be honest. It was really good. Good chemistry with Marty, I thought, knowing both of them. It wasn't much of an act. It was actually quite true to form.
They built an amazing feud off that, didn't they? It was incredible. I remember seeing all the YouTube videos between the two. This didn't happen on your YouTube channel, Dean. This happened on somebody else's. So
not.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Missed out on all them views.
We've talked a lot about this in the interview, but what's it been like wrestling outside of your home of All-Star Wrestling? There's too many promotions to name, but if you've got any highlights, you're welcome to share them.
It's been incredible, to be honest. I think it came at the right time. Like I said, in like 2010, I felt like I was really at my peak, and that's when I started doing all the indies, and I'm pretty sure they've not years off my career, but it's all been for a good cause, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I've built up a good reputation on the indies, especially for some people see All-Star wrestlers as just like holiday camp wrestlers, just like almost like panto, and I think I've gone out there and proved a lot of people wrong, not just for myself, just for All-Star Wrestling, you know. I never get that, really. Like, obviously, from anybody who comes into All-Star Wrestling from the indies, they actually know that All-Star is, like, where the really good wrestlers are, the ones that do it every day and do it for a living. So that perception is from a fan's perspective, I feel.
You're not putting that on me, Dean.
Oh, I don't know, not you. Not you.
No, but that's what my brand's called.
I thought you'd been slagging off All-Star for a second then.
No.
This interview was about to take a turn.
Yeah, if that happens, you terminate it. But you're talking about you and Robbie Dynamite. If anyone thinks that wrestling star's panto, wow. Yeah, don't know what they're watching.
It's just one thing that's always... It's one thing that I've constantly heard over the years about the All-Star guys, and it's just not true. If anybody goes to an All-Star show, you're going to have a good time. It doesn't matter if you're with your mates or with your family, you know. It is a family show, but there are really good wrestling matches on them shows.
Yeah, just taking the two shows that I've been to, Dean. You against Robbie Dynamite, well, that's a match that any wrestling fan can watch. And then if you look up and down the cards, Gangrel was on that card, for example. You've talked about Frankie Sloan and Robbie Brookside. They were in a tag team match. And it was good family fun. But then when you and Robbie were in the ring, it was fantastic wrestling. And then from the Telford show, you had Metal Master against Robbie Dynamite, which is the match for the fans. And then the family aspect of it is the tag match that you was in and different. But it, on this show, you've got the Who's Who. You've got Brian Danielson, Doug Williams, and obviously the Metal Master, Robbie Dynamite. So I went into it personally thinking, Okay, I've heard of All Star, and I'll go and check it out. And I enjoyed the family fun aspects and the wrestling, you know, the in-ring wrestling when it was between the likes of you and Robbie and Brian Danielson and stuff was just amazing. So I had a great time both times that I was able to see All Star, and I think it's very unfair if people put that on you and the company that it's anything less than what it is. That's not right at all, to be honest.
Yeah, and just the amount of people that, like, everybody, every British guy that goes to the WWE has wrestled for All Star at one point, you know. If you ask them, that's where they picked up most their good traits, you know what I mean? That's where they got it from. It's just that wrestling's about repetition, and if you're wrestling 250 times a year, then that's the repetition that you need. And that's where you're going to get it from All Star.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, you're not going to hear a bad word said about All Star wrestling from me. You don't need to terminate this interview, Dean. We've put an hour and 10 minutes of our lives into it, mate. yeah, just on a solemn thought, the shooting star Chris Travis unfortunately passed away tragically from cancer. And I just want to, because obviously you've been around PCW for the longest time. Chris was a huge star in PCW and one of probably the greatest talents that's ever been produced in British wrestling. What are your thoughts and memories on the man?
So like you said, like he was a big star at PCW, and a lot of people called him Mr. PCW. He absolutely loved that company, and I was lucky enough to wrestle him a couple of times too. You know, I had a four way there with him where it was me, him, Joey Hayes, and Kevin Owens. And we had it's still one of my favourite matches now of all time. It just clicked. It was really, really good. I was just gutted that me and Trav never got to have a singles match. It was something that we spoke about privately in his last year or so when he was ill, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's one of the things that we both wanted that we never got the chance to do. So, yeah, it was really nice. We travelled together to IPW and stuff, and it was just like shocking news at the time. When he beat it the first time, I just thought, oh, that's great, Trav's back. And then he unfortunately lost his battle.
I think one of the best things that came out of Chris Travis's cancer battle the first time round is how it, like, you know, it brought everyone in British wrestling together, didn't it? It's, you know, no one could say a bad word about him. He's, you know, he's just a really, really cool guy. And I only saw him a few occasions and wrote about him on one occasion. And he just had it, really. Star quality. And, if he was still here, I'm sure he'd be a part of, say, the NXT or Impact Wrestling brand, wouldn't he?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it was a shame that he got pulled off the British boot camp, you know.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, because he did get through. It's quite unfair that they took him off in the end. Don't know what that was for, but he was the top package. He was really, really good. Around about that time as well, my friend who had known for many years, Drew McDonald, obviously had stomach cancer and died from that too. So. Oh, it was like a double blow for me. Obviously, Drew was a lot older than Trav. Trav was younger than I am.
Yeah.
And nobody should ever go at that age.
No, that's a real shame. I think he was taken off the show because the illness came back, to be honest, Dean. I don't think they would have taken him off otherwise. That was a really, really unfortunate situation.
It was.
I saw, looking and researching and stuff, you've had the opportunity to wrestle one of the Japanese icons, Jushin Thunder Liger, and you must have just enjoyed that experience just for his theme song, personally. What was it like being around the man and wrestling him?
When I used to watch Michinoku Pro, I was a big fan of the smaller Japanese wrestlers, and we used to get tapes of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he was like the top junior heavyweight. He was he was absolutely fantastic. So it was a big honour for me to step in the ring with him. He started himself, like, he came over here and he started with All Star Wrestling back in the day, when he used to wrestle as Fujimada.
Yeah.
Without the mask, and he had some cracking matches that you'll find on YouTube, not on my channel, on YouTube, where it's him against Rollo Morocco is one that stands out. So when he came over here to wrestle me, it had more meaning to me than a lot of people would have thought, you know, with him having that start in All-Star. Brian is the promoter of All-Star Wrestling, and I took him along to the show with me. And when Liger saw him, he was absolutely made up. he picked Brian up and spun him round. He was so happy to see him again. So, it was a really good experience. And the year after, I got the chance to perform in front of a Japanese agent at Butlins, who then contacted Jushin Thunder Liger, and Liger put in a good word for me. So that Jushin Thunder Liger is the reason why I ended up going to Japan in a way. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
That's pretty cool. You wrestled WB UK champion Pete Dunne before he was the Cruiserweight.
Yes.
And I just want to ask at this time, did you see his potential even back then?
So when I wrestled him at the time, he was still wearing like the Michinoku, the Taka Michinoku style gear, you know. But he was just beginning to change because he wanted to be like a heel, and we wrestled in Sandbatch, and I remember watching like the first match on the show, and they went out there and they just did everything, and they didn't really get anything from the crowd. So I suggested that me and Pete go in and do like a different style of match, which ended up working really, really well. And I did see the potential. I wrestled him. It was for Great Bear Promotions in Sandbatch. So I wrestled him 1 year, and then the following year, around about the same time, I wrestled Tyler Bate.
That was my next question, Dean. Are you reading this?
And it's just like when you put little things like that together, like they're like the two top UK guys at the minute, and for this little promotion in Sandbatch, I managed to wrestle them both and get like a feel of what they were, their potential was at the time, and you could definitely see it in both of them. I've always been a big fan of like the defend indie guys, like the attack wrestling guys, that they all wrestle a certain way, and it's very good to watch. At the time I just thought, yeah, these guys got potential. I never dreamed that they'd become as big as they have become though.
No, yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, do you see this, obviously you've said about yourself and you know, you're getting older, as you said, not me. Do you see that the WWE and the WWE UK could be something that you could be a part of at all?
I think if it was probably 10 years ago, it probably would have been something that probably would have happened. But who's to say? I think at the age, I'm 35 this year, I think I'm probably a little bit too old for that now. I've got 2 man-hours on the clock. Like, you can see people like Trent Seven is there, and he's older than me, but... He hasn't been doing this as long as I have, and he hasn't had half the amount of matches, so he's still in good condition, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, it sounds like a beginning to a feud, that does, Dean.
I'd never say no, I've never wrestled it before, so
yeah.
I think we'd have a good one. But I think it's stuff like that is for the young kids, you know. I'm married, I've got a family.
Yeah.
I'm not as flexible when it comes to my life as they are, you know.
Yeah.
They're young, single guys, and they can do what they want. I'm not in that position. So I'm happy. I've always been happy doing what I'm doing. I pick up little opportunities, like to wrestle Liger and to go to Japan and stuff like that. So... I'm really happy doing that sort of thing. I don't feel like I need to do anything like the WWE UK, apart from if I wanted to become more well-known and more famous, and I really don't, to be honest. So.
Oh, well, that's fair enough, because some people in wrestling get into it for the fame and fortune, don't they, when they want to go to the WWE and stuff. It's, you know, it's quite refreshing to hear that You'll go there, you'll be a part of it, but you don't really want what goes with it. You just want to do it, you know, for the experience, really, as opposed to the fame and fortune.
Everything I've always done is just for the love of wrestling, you know. Never done it for any other reason. So I'm not going to start changing now.
Yeah, I think that's the same reason why I've written about wrestling for so long, Dean. To be honest, if you don't enjoy what you do, and I never became a critic. I was always a fan. That's why I call it a fan's perspective. Was to write about it and bring respect and, you know, everything and positivity to professional wrestling, because so many people flag it off and I'm like, well, what are you watching it for? There's so many other things you could be watching and you know what I mean? So I always maintain that fan in me, and that's why I continue to write about it to this day, almost 13 years later. So.
They're so spoiled now, you know. Like, look at me and Rob, like 15 years old, catching a train to Manchester and spending 100 quid just to watch the matches that anybody can watch now on YouTube for free, you know.
On your channel, Dean?
No, on my channel now. you can find a match between DC Thunderliga and Robbie Dynamite on my YouTube channel, though.
Yeah.
From an all-star wrestling show.
You can see a full show on that channel as well, which is just crazy.
I looked the other day and it said like 500 and something uploads, and I was like, man, I've uploaded a lot of matches on there.
Yeah, you know that whole I only do it when it catches on thing, Dean? You've kind of taken this YouTube thing a little bit far. I'm actually at the point now where I'm thinking you've got stocks and shares in them, and you're minted, really.
Do you know what? I don't even know how to connect the account to my bank. Literally, I've got like this YouTube channel that's had so many thousands of views, and I probably could earn good money. And I just don't know how to do it because I'm old.
Oh wow!
I'm a proper technophobe. I think I need to get somebody in.
Yeah, you need to get somebody in, especially how many times we've plugged it in this interview.
Maybe this is the turning point for me.
You know, there was a question in about like 10 questions time about your YouTube channel, but now we kind of don't need to say it. So
it's plugged.
Yeah, it's definitely plugged. I was trying to think of like a nickname for you before we started the show, and it's definitely going to be the king of self promotion afterwards.
Or Mr. YouTube.
Yes, Mr. YouTube. And then when you make a shirt, we can you know, because it was said here on Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, we can have a percentage. Hopefully, but we need the money.
You can have a space on the t-shirt.
Yeah, that'd be great. Moving swiftly on. What was it like defending the All-Star Wrestling mid-heavyweight title in Japan against, hopefully I get this name right, Shiki Ashika, I think.
I'll help you out.
Yeah, help me out.
Seiki Ashioka.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, so that was obviously my first time that I went in 2014. I was actually a double champion at the time, so I just defended one championship over there. And then he came over, he beat me for that title there, a title versus title match where I won my belt back in real in this country. Mm-hmm. So it was for a company called Wrestle One, which is run by the Great Muta. It's his wrestling promotion.
Yeah.
So it was great to meet him. He had some people there like Koji Kanemoto, Minoru Tanaka,
wow.
Some of the guys on the show. And Tajiri was actually there. Obviously, I was a big fan of his. So
did you get a chance to meet him and talk to him and stuff?
We did press conferences together and stuff. And,
wow.
It was really good. There was like 8,000 people in this venue.
Wow.
At the Sumo Hall.
Mm.
So it was a big setup and it was really good, and it was something I was really up for at the time. I think I was brought in just to be like a British champion that was going to give this young boy like a boost in his career, and I ended up going home with a lot of respect after that match, especially because in the match my opponent legit got hurt. He hyperextended his knee, and it looked like the match was going to get stopped. And I was able to like navigate navigate the rest of the match without talking to him, because he didn't speak English, in such a way that we still got like a good finish out of it. So, that was quite fun.
That's pretty amazing, and it goes to show the experience that you've gathered in professional wrestling, doesn't it, really? You're wrestling with a guy who can't speak English, and you know, you're able to lead the match and get a satisfying ending for the fans and for the match itself. So kudos to you on that one, Dean.
Oh, thank you. If that would have been 2004, like the TNA situation, that probably would have gone to pieces. So it come full circle for me at that point.
It's all experience, though. Like I said, just going back to that for a second. This is your first time doing a different character, a different role, and stuff. Everyone would suffer in that way, Dean. I think you're being really hard on yourself.
Thank you very much for saying that. But just in my mind, it was just like I think it was something that I had to go through, you know. And it was as bad as I thought it was. But like then 10 years later, I'm wrestling in Japan.
Yeah.
And doing myself proud, you know. So yeah, it actually worked out good.
Yeah, that's what it's about, isn't it? It's not how many, you know, to go along with the Rocky films, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up again.
That's it. That's the way.
Yeah.
This is the UK's youngest pro wrestler, Joe Nelson, and you are listening to the Broken But Glorious podcast.
So I've noticed that the PCW worked with Ring of Honor. Has there ever been any you know, thoughts about going to the promotion and going to America? I think your style would surely be fantastic in Ring of Honor.
America's never been one of the places that I wanted to go. When me and Rob used to watch videotapes, like we used to watch some Smoky Mountain wrestling, some WCW stuff, but I never really watched WCW for like the American wrestlers. It was more for like the cruiserweights, mm-hmm. and for the British guys, you know.
And
I always had it in my mind that I never ever wanted to go to like the WWE, WWF or anywhere like that. I just wanted, if I could go anywhere, it would be Japan, mm-hmm. and that would be the place. Ring of Honor, when I think about it, it's not one of them things that I'd be tempted to take an offer on, to be honest. It's, yeah.
Is it because of family, kids, or is it, you know, because obviously that's your situation. If you're single, this was back in the day, would that change in any way?
Yeah, I probably would have taken anything then.
Yeah.
I'm at a stage now where I earn a good living from wrestling in this country.
Yeah.
I have my little trips here and there. I'm a coach at the All-Star Wrestling School. I'm a coach at the PCW school,
mm-hmm.
On a full-time basis. So it's just, when offers come through, it's just, it's up to me whether I take them. Like, I'm injured now, and I've just had an offer to go to wrestle in South Africa,
wow.
which I've never done before. And it's just like, I'm just in two minds whether to go. Whether it's, because it's an April, it's whether it's too soon for my ankle, or whether I should just say yes and then get myself ready to go. But I'm not in a position where I need to do it, you know what I mean? I can do what I want at this stage of my career.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Your perennial rival, Robbie Dynamite, you've actually had the opportunity to tag with him as well. What's the difference between wrestling one-on-one against, you know, a rival and tagging with?
Special question. So, I don't know what's in there. The good thing about that is that I've been beat up by him so many times that I can anticipate what he's going to do to people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The same chemistry we have when we're wrestling each other, I feel like we have when we're tagging together too. We've wrestled each other that many times, we know what each other are thinking, almost, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm in there, I feel like I'm in there with my big brother, kind of like the Steiner Brothers kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel comfortable when I'm tagging with him. It's not something that we do very often, we don't get the chance to. It would be a dream of mine to tag together in Japan. That would be, again, something that in the first promotion where we were training, we actually won the tag team championships there when we were like 16 and 17. So to go to Japan and tag together would be something. I like things where it comes around like a full circle, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, that would be the icing on the cake.
Mm. For me, it was watching Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels at the NEC in Birmingham. Yeah. That's where I started writing about wrestling. And then I got to see Shawn Michaels retire Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24.
Yeah.
And that's coming up, you know, I wrote about that in my new book. So that's me gone full circle as a writer, which is, I can see what you mean there. It'd be amazing just to see you two guys, you know, tagging on the British scene. I'd love to see that in the Midlands, or if I could get up into the area of, you know, wherever it would be. I think you would really tear it up as a tag team on the scene.
Yeah, I think so. And like the matches that we've got out there, you can see the stuff that we do is like a lot different than anybody else, you know. Just this week I posted some little clips of little combos and that we do that nobody else does, that come off really good when you watch them back. So yeah, it's something that could possibly work in the future. I spoke to my friend Kid Cool this week, he's been out of wrestling for the last couple of years, but he's also thinking about making a comeback. So yeah, maybe there'll be some stuff on the tag scene with him too. Maybe the three of us like get back together, you know, and do some six mans and stuff. Who knows?
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. What was it like wrestling legendary Johnny Kidd and then having Steve Gray as the special referee?
Oh, that was excellent, especially for the fact that like Croydon's Fairfield Halls was like, it's one of the most prestigious venues in the country. Obviously, going back to the World of Sport days, there was a lot of matches going from there. And that was actually the last wrestling show that venue was holding because it was getting knocked down. So to wrestle, there was so much history in that one match, and we did rounds and we actually went to a draw. It was just such a good experience, and I wanted to wrestle. I've known Johnny Kidd for many years and we never got the chance to wrestle, so I'm thankful that we did before he called it a day.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I met Johnny Kidd one day, and know me from like the World of Sport days and stuff. Legends, just got to shake his hand and stuff, and said, well, you know, great match. And he was a nice, humble guy. So it's nice that a legend of British wrestling was that way. And obviously, you've talked about wrestling and being a great experience. So I'm happy that was the case.
Oh, we see he is one of the best, and you'll always find that with the best guys, and the best guys around are usually the nicest guys too. So he definitely is one of the best in another ring.
Yeah. You went back to Japan for DSW and you defended your British Super Slam title against Minoru Tanaka.
Yes.
Got that name right. That's good.
Minoru Tanaka.
Yeah, Minoru Tanaka, yeah. I'm not good with Japanese names, Dean. I'm trying, you know, I'm really trying. What were your thoughts and your memories of this match?
So, obviously, Minoru Tanaka was one of the juniors that I used to watch too. He kind of flies under a lot of people's radars, but he is absolutely really, really good. And when I say one of the nice, like one of the best, are usually one of the nicest outside the ring, he is one of the nicest out the ring. He is so good. Like, he is, like, he's older than me, and he's just what I want to be. I want to be a British version of Minoru Tanaka. He is so nice to be around. At that time, I was going through a lot of stomach issues. I'd had stomach ulcers that had burst and burned a hole in my stomach. Yeah. So I was coughing up and passing blood quite a bit through that summer. And then I went there in September, and I was coughing up blood on the plane. He was the perfect match for that time, you know what I mean? We went in there, it was just nice and easy. He was a pleasure to work with.
And my next question is about you becoming the PCW Cruiserweight Champion against Ashton Smith. But you've been reading my questions all the way through this, so I'm guessing you already knew that. what was it like, and obviously you're still the piece of your Cruiserweight Champion to this day. What was it like, that match? I mean, Ashton Smith is somebody I've known on the Midland wrestling scene for the longest time, and it was, you know, it's absolutely amazing to see him tearing it up in places like PCW. You know, what are your thoughts and your memories of this match?
So that was at the Blackpool Tower Circus, which is a venue that I used to wrestle at weekly in about 2008, 2009. And we actually got put on main event on that show as well, which I thought was going to be tough with us both being baby faces. But actually, the match went really, really well. It was just one of those matches where kind of everything flowed. It was the first time we'd ever wrestled in the singles. And he is really, really good. Like, he's so underrated, Ashton. It's crazy. More people don't know about him. But we wrestled that. And then, of course, a couple of weeks later, we wrestled a rematch in Preston. A 2 out of 3 falls match. Which was equally as good as the first one, if not better. It was actually really, really good.
Yeah, and then recently you've wrestled in the Road to Glory tournament, I believe, in Preston City Wrestling again. You fought Zack Sabre Jr., and obviously he's one of the biggest names in British wrestling at this time, and has been for a short while. What did you make of this match, and what was it like being in the ring with Zack Sabre Jr.?
So the way they did the tournament this year, which is a lot different than they usually do. They normally do first round is Friday night, second round is Saturday day, and then the finals at night. Mm-hmm. And you normally do 4 matches to get to the final. This time they did it in one day, so I wrestled Adam Brooks in the first round. Which was on the first show. Mm-hmm. So I was just hanging around, and then Zach was on with Matt Riddle in his first round match, and that was last on the first show.
Yeah.
And then I thought that would work to my advantage, because I thought Zach would be like a bit beat up and stuff. Mm-hmm. Obviously Matt Riddle's like a hard hitting wrestler, and he goes for it, you know. But what happened was I cooled down, so Zach was still warm by the time he got in our match, you know what I mean? But wrestling Zach was one of those things I wanted to do for years. I never got the chance to. We are like two, we still wrestle the old school British style, you know. And it was good to test myself against somebody who I consider the best at that style in the world at the moment. So the match went really good. It was really fun. It was just a shame that we both wrestled once at that time, you know. So we wrestled that one, and then wrestled Apollo in the final, which was something that you don't do every day when you wrestle and beat a current WWE superstar. That's obviously a big thing, you know. It happened on an independent show in Preston, which is just madness.
Seriously, Dean, you got to stop reading my questions, man.
I'm reading your mind, not your questions.
I know. Well, that's scary as well. You've talked about being a wrestling coach for All Star Wrestling and for Preston City Wrestling. What kind of coach are you doing? Well, do you do the basics? Do you work on character work? Is there a speciality, or is it an all round kind of thing for yourself?
So with me, there's two other coaches that teach at the PCW Academy, and one other coach that teaches at the All-Star School. So they all work on like psychology and match work and stuff like that. So my role is more of like an advanced teacher, where I come in and basically just teach them like the old British stuff that they've probably never done before. A lot of people don't know that, but I'm a better technical wrestler than I am like a flippy guy, you know what I mean? I just happen to do flips when it's needed. So I was brought into the job to be a mat specialist, and coming from like the amateur wrestling and stuff like that, and being around Rob so much, like that's the one thing that I've always been good at. So I go in there, teach all British stuff. I post every week on my on the All Star page on my Facebook the All Star Wrestling School Move of the Week, which I've been doing for the last couple of months now, and it's actually become quite a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
For not only me but for the schools too. So a lot of wrestlers like private message me and suggest stuff that they want to work on, and I try and add that to the list of stuff that I do on a weekly basis. And Yeah, I think that's going down quite well.
And look, what is it like for a trainee or, well, you're saying the student in an advanced class, what's it like for an advanced student? What's like a normal day for them?
Well, the class at Preston, which is actually tonight, so I'm going to have to go soon to get to Preston, but that's a two-hour class on a Thursday, and because it's a two-hour class, I split it into two sections. We do rolls and agility work for the first hour, because I think that they're two really that's a really important thing to do, and then the last hour is basically I leave it up to them to suggest stuff that they want to work on. They'll give me little suggestions of stuff that they're struggling on and stuff like that, and I'll fill that gap for them. Or try to fill it. With All Star, we do 3-hour sessions, so I do a little bit of everything there. I've been teaching at the school since 2006, so I've been there a long time, doing that a long time, and a lot of the students have been with me for many years. So it's just trying to polish for them, to be honest. They are really good on the mat and stuff already, so it's just trying to take them to that next step.
That's fair enough. Since we've talked about your fandom in great detail in the interview, what's your favourite wrestling match as a fan?
One match that always sticks out in my mind, like as soon as you say that, because I don't really think about that anymore, but one match that always stands out was Tajiri against Super Crazy in ECW. Yes. It was both their debut matches on the night. And they both went on first, like as unknowns. And I've been in that situation many times since then as a wrestler. And I always go in with that mindset of, like, they went in there unknown, and by the time the match finished, they both left with respect and a standing ovation. So whenever I go somewhere new, I always that kind of sticks in my mind. You know, you need to give it your best and do what they did at that time.
Yeah, the feud between the two is legendary, isn't it, really? I remember, and I'm sure you'll know this as well, when ECW was on Bravo, I remember seeing if it was Tajiri and Super Crazy, you're in for a fun night.
Oh, yeah.
Just amazing chemistry between the two. Only akin to Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn, wasn't it, really, to be honest?
Yeah, and to me, like, Van Dam and Jerry Lynn was good, but, like, nothing can compare to Tajiri and Super Crazy, because they just went through every genre of wrestling in their matches. They just did they did some British stuff in there. They did strikes. They did Lucha Libre style in there. They just went through every genre. And I've got to say that first match, I think it was Anarchy Rules maybe, because they had one at Heatwave as well. So I can't remember where the first one was, but yeah.
You need to get yourself on the WWE Network there, Dean.
No.
So we'll say favourite match that you've had then?
Again. there's been so many. It's tough to narrow it down, you know. I always think, like, matches are good, like, when it's for a reason.
Yeah.
So that one at Dragon Gate against Styx was one that, like, for many reasons, will always be one of my top ones. Obviously, my ones against Ashton were some of my favourites too.
Yeah.
But I'm just always trying to improve, you know, always trying to tweak my matches slightly and just always trying to improve. So I think my best matches are still ahead of me yet. I've never, like you mentioned, that Bret Hart said he had that perfect match, and I've never had a perfect match yet. So that's what I strive for.
Yeah, that's the best attitude to have, isn't it, really? What would you say is your dream match, Shin?
Probably the match that I've never had that could happen maybe one day is against Kota Ibushi.
Oh, wow, that'd be amazing.
I think that match would be pretty sick, to be honest.
Yeah.
Obviously, Zack Sabre Jr. is one that I've wanted for a long time. And I was glad that that's now ticked off.
Yeah.
But on the same note, I would like to wrestle him again when I'm a bit more fresh and when he's fresh.
And what's the future hold for Dean Ullmer?
Hard to say, really. Because so much stuff has happened that I wasn't expecting. So I just, at this stage of my career, I just think that anything's possible. I've seen so many people do so many things that I never thought would happen. Mm. And so much stuff has happened to me that I never thought would happen, that I guess just anything could happen at all. But for me personally, as long as I'm wrestling, I'm going to be happy. So I just need to get this ankle sorted out. I'll probably go another 4 weeks, maybe a month, before I can wrestle again. But as soon as that's ready to go, I'll be back in there.
It's a great attitude to have, Dean. And you talked about going full circle. You've kind of gone full circle in this interview, to be honest. You've talked about you're obviously trainee. You talked about your worst experiences. You talked about your best experiences, and like I said, you've gone from being sad to being quite happy at the end, I would hope. So so you've kind of gone full circle in the space of an hour and 45 minutes.
I'm Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. We have rescheduled the book signing Q&A at Pro Wrestling Cartel until Saturday the 24th of March at 3 p.m. With England playing on the Friday night, that means the local teams aren't playing because of international duty. So I hope that we've kind of looked into this perfect day. And we'll be doing a book signing with my two books. We'll be doing a Q&A, a possible book reading, and an in-store competition. So if you're available on that day and you enjoy professional wrestling, and I hope you'll join me in store. And as a proud Brummie, hence the reason why my social medias are called Brummie-ol, it's an absolute privilege and an honour and a pleasure to bring my first ever book signing to Birmingham. As somebody who was brought up in the area in Small Heath, Sheldon and Stechford, to come back in order to sign books and be a part of a Q&A in a wrestling shop in Birmingham is an amazing thrill. So I'm grateful of the opportunity, and I hope to see you all then. This is Oliver Newman signing off from Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. Good night, everyone. Bye for now. Bye.